What's your story? So, everybody has a story. I've been following a speaker. He's like a motivational speaker. His name is Jim Rohn. And he says, the Bible is an interesting book. It's a collection of stories. And in these stories, it talks about the lives of people. And he says, it talks about those who did good in the eyes of the Lord. And on the other hand, he would say those who did bad in the eyes of the Lord. So, I normally like to follow some of these stories. And I think it harks back to when I used to do Sunday school as a little child. And these nice, like David and Goliath, and these nice Old Testament stories. So, I really like the Old Testament. Probably because of that nice childhood memory from my Sunday school. And I particularly like Moses' story. Today I want to focus not just on the Moses story about the Pharaoh and the 10 plagues. And, you know, that's when you think of Moses' story, you think of that, the 10 plagues and Moses leading them through the wilderness and stuff like that. But what I want to talk about for Moses is his legacy. What was his story and what did he leave behind? So I think I might need to take the microphone. That might make me think. And I'm going to go first. I'm going to go first. Tony, you have a reading. I want the microphone so we can be recorded.
Okay, thank you. All right, cool. These are the commandments, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you, to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commandments that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey so that it may go well with you and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commands that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your homes and on your gates. When the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you, a land with large flourishing cities that you did not build.
Thank you. Deuteronomy 6:10-19. When the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you, a land with large flourishing cities you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide, wells you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves you did not plant, then when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Fear the Lord your God, serve him only, and take your oaths in his name. Do not follow other gods, the gods of the peoples around you. For the Lord your God who is among you is a jealous God, and his anger will burn against you, and he will destroy you from the face of the land. Do not put the Lord your God to the test, as you did at Massah. Be sure to keep his commands, to keep the commands of the Lord your God and the stipulations and decrees he has given you. Do what is right and good in the Lord's sight so that it may go well with you and you may go in and take over the good land that the Lord has promised on oath to your ancestors, thrusting out all your enemies before you, as the Lord said.
This is at the end of when Moses is, you know, ready to depart this earth. Moses' story starts in Exodus, and it goes through the four books right down to Deuteronomy. Remember, he made that mistake where he didn't speak to the rock, but he hit the rock, so the Lord said he would not go over to Jordan. But so at the end of his days, he's reminding them, he's telling them his story. Remember, I'm asking you, what is your story? He's telling them his story, and he's beseeching upon them, and he's encouraging them and telling them, make sure you don't forget the Lord. Make sure you tell your children, pass it on to your children and their grandchildren and so on, so forth. I'm going to pass this to Philip here.
I'm doing Deuteronomy chapter 8. Be careful to follow every command I am giving you today so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land the Lord promised on oath to your ancestors. Remember how the Lord your God led all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Then I'm going to verse 10. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful wilderness, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the wilderness, something your ancestors had never known, to humble and test you so that in the end it might go well with you. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors as it is today.
Thank you very much, Philip. So this, as I said, this is at the end of Moses' life. As I said, he is coming to the end. He has not crossed over to Jordan. I'm going to pass the microphone to Kimberly, who's going to speak about another person. This is the person who God asked to take over from Moses. Moses is coming to the end. He's on this side of the Jordan. God says, you're not going to cross. You're going to die here. And you're going to meet your ancestors on this side of the Jordan. I'm going to get a new leader. The leader is going to take them across the Jordan and into the promised land. So Kimberly is going to talk about that, to get that story across.
So it's Joshua chapter 24, verses 1 to 15. Then Joshua assembled all the tribes of Israel at Shechem. He summoned the elders, leaders, judges, and officials of Israel, and they presented themselves before God. Joshua said to all the people, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Long ago, your ancestors, including Terah, the father of Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the Euphrates River and worshipped other gods. But I took your father Abraham from the land beyond the Euphrates and led him throughout Canaan and gave him many descendants. I gave him Isaac, and to Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau, and I assigned the hill country of Seir to Esau. But Jacob and his family went down to Egypt. Then I sent Moses and Aaron, and I afflicted the Egyptians by what I did there, and I brought you out. When I brought your people out of Egypt, you came to the sea, and the Egyptians pursued them with chariots and horsemen as far as the Red Sea. But they cried to the Lord for help, and he put darkness between you and the Egyptians. He brought the sea over them and covered them. You saw with your own eyes what I did to the Egyptians. Then you lived in the wilderness for a long time. I brought you to the land of the Amorites, who lived east of the Jordan. They fought against you, but I gave them into your hands. I destroyed them from before you, and you took possession of their land. When Balak, son of Zippor, the king of Moab, prepared to fight against Israel, he sent for Balaam, son of Beor, to put a curse on you. But I will not listen to Balaam. So he blessed you again and again, and I delivered you out of his hand. Then you crossed the Jordan and came to Jericho. The citizens of Jericho fought against you, as did also the Amorites, Perizzites, Canaanites, Hittites, Girgashites, Hivites, and Jebusites. But I gave them into your hands. I sent the hornet ahead of you, which drove them out before you. Also the two Amorite kings. You did not do it with your own sword and bow. So I gave you a land on which you did not toil, and cities you did not build. And you live in them and eat from vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshipped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord.
Thanks, Kimberly. So as again, this is the start of Joshua's leadership, and he's telling the people the same thing that Moses ended his leadership with. He's telling them, remember, remember, always remember to pass on your story to the next generation and to remember the good that God has done for you. Think about all these things. That don't think it's in your own strength. Don't think you've amassed, whether it's wealth or children or possessions. Don't think that is in your strength. Remember that comes from God. So this is my story. I'm going to start with my favorite Bible verse. My favorite Bible verse, something I probably grew up with. And sometimes I don't even say the whole verse. Sometimes I only say the half of it. I just say, in everything give thanks. But in the King James Version, it says, in everything give thanks. Actually, Philip, can you read it? Yeah, why not? That's King James. It's Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 5, 18. Yeah, First Thessalonians 5:18. If you put that up again, Tony. I want it in the King James Version. If someone could find the same one, I guess Tony will get it up in the NIV. Right, and the King James Version is where I grew up with it, but the NIV would just say, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is Christ's will for you. So I think of that in this way. So whether, and I was explaining this to Tyrese the other day. In order for something to happen good for you, you have to pass through tribulation. Tyrese likes going to the gym. And I say, if you want to develop good muscles, you need to have resistance. The weights must be heavy. There must be some kind of resistance against you in order for the muscles to develop. You can't have light weight to develop strong muscles. You need to have heavy weight, something against you. So in your life, there's going to be perils and adversities. And this is what you have to do in order to come on the other side better. If you don't have perils, if you don't have adversity, you can't develop. So that's what that means. So that was my favorite verse. And then Haley started preaching the other day, and she started talking about her favorite verse, which Alex is going to just quickly mention.
So this is Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. One more time. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight.
Thank you very much, sir. So I've decided to add that one. 12, so I now have two. What was the point I'm making? We need to begin to surround ourselves with stuff that makes us think of God, whether it's a Bible verse, whether it's our own testimony, whether it's the testimony of somebody else. We need to begin to just surround ourselves and appreciate that it is not our doing that has allowed us to become where we are. So, my little story, my story, testimony, if you want to call it that, about things that I've acquired that I don't deserve. And I'm going to start my story from high school. So my high school, let's say 16, 17, thereabout, I'm at high school and I'm beginning to notice a young lady, paying a bit more attention to the young lady. We went on the school trip. And then I decided to follow this lady to church. Now, this young lady attends church 3 times a week. That's crazy. 3 times a week. So we church Sunday morning, church Sunday evening, and church in the middle of the week. So I'm following this young lady to church, but I'm not really searching for God. I'm searching for something else. But during the process of following her to church, God is speaking to me. So God is speaking to me, and I'm there, I'm listening, you know, but slowly, slowly, stuff's happening, probably without even my knowing. So that's 1986, around October. 1987, Phillips here has to go to college. So we're separated. She's gone to college in St. Lucia. 1988, I have to go to college. So I'm gone to Jamaica for college. And during that time, we are apart, but we're communicating. And I wrote here, this is something that Granny Francis, her mom, doesn't know. We spend huge amount of money on telephone bills. Huge, Granny, on telephone bills. So big that Phillips decided to take the telephone bills. As soon as they come to the postman, she just grabs them and pays it herself. So that Granny doesn't know the cost of the huge bill. But what's the point I'm making? During that time, so I'm in Jamaica, and I'm meeting Christians. So there's this particular Christian group that I'm meeting, and I'm beginning to just understand more. Anyway, so Phillips here comes back to leave St. Lucia, back to the Caribbean, back to Montreal, sorry. But I failed one or two subjects, so I had to stay. So I stayed back a little longer in Jamaica, but Phillips here went back home. And then in 1991, I surprised her and asked her if she would be my fiance if we could get engaged. So that's 1991, we got engaged. But I'm still searching. And this Bible, I don't use it anymore, but I purchased this in 1992. I don't think I'm ever going to get rid of it. It reminds me of my search. So I'm continuing to understand and search, trying to understand what God is trying to say to me. So this is my reminder. You need a reminder of what God's saying to you. So 1992, this Bible, 1991, we got engaged. 1993, we got married. And in 1995, Tiana was due. Tiana was due in September. But in 1995, July, the volcano, which was dormant for over 350 years, really damaged and erupted and damaged our island. And we had to evacuate. So we had to evacuate our island, which is Montserrat, and run to Antigua. She was heavily pregnant. 2 weeks due, Tien was born in Antigua. So we moved to Antigua, and we attended a church there called Grace Baptist Church. And it's at Grace Baptist Church I got baptized in the ocean. Got baptized in the sea in probably 96, 97, somewhere around there. But it is all through that search, that journey, that long journey, very long journey. So we're in Antigua, we're living in Antigua, we're working, and we're bringing up Tiana, and we got an opportunity. Well, we are a British colony, where we are. We're still a British colony. And we got an opportunity to come to university in the UK. So we left Antigua in 98, and we came to the UK. we attended Chatsworth Baptist Church, in West Norwood, and that's where we were in South London. And we were in South London until 98. I was going to university in South Bank University, so did Philipsy. We were both there at the same time. And then we got an opportunity to come to Merston. So I missed my son, Tyrese. Tyrese was born in 2000 while we were in South London. So we came in 98, Tiana was three. In 2001, Tyrese was born, and we were still living in South London. I had to leave university. I had to stop because I had to go and work now that I have two more mouths to feed. So I left university and continued working for a while. And then in 2004, the opportunity came for us to buy a house. And we bought it in Merstham, had better schools than where we were in South London. So we came to Merstham in 2004. And I can remember speaking to Philips here and saying, okay, we're going to go and we're going to check all the churches around the area. We're going to visit all of them. I kind of make an assessment as to what's the best church for us to go to. So that was about November time in 2004. And we came here, and that was the only church we visited. Sometime in November we came, and we never left. That's my story so far. Of course, this stuff's happened since 2004 to now, with Pastor Brian and before Pastor Brian, Pastor Judy, and the different things that we're doing with the church. But that's my story, and I want you to think about your story. What is your story? What will you pass on? What will you say? If somebody was to ask you about your journey of Christ and how he's been influenced you, what will you say? So that's my story for now. Maybe another time we could talk about something that took place after 2004. But that's my story up to 2004. But I want you to think of